Let us be directed to God's word in Matthew chapter 13.
Tiyenditsogozere ndi mawu opezeka mbuku la Mateyu chapter 13.
And I'll direct you to the 18th verse. Where we hear or read, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This is our desire this afternoon for you and I to hear this parable of the sower. For in the following verses, it is spoken of, the parable of is explained of the sower. And the Lord Jesus did explain this to his disciples. But when he explained it to the common people in Matthew chapter 13 verse 9, he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear."
And
therefore we have to say the same thing today. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. That means this parable of the sower goes out to us all today. To fathers and mothers and young people and children. And you need to know that the multitude was great as the Lord Jesus spoke this parable. Many people came to hear the word, to see his miracles. Many people gathered. And that is exactly what prompted the Lord Jesus to tell this parable. For the Lord Jesus is honest with
them.
And it looked like it was a big church. And it looked like a lot of people were interested. And a lot of people were interested in his doctrine. Were interested in the Lord Jesus. And it seemed as though the Lord Jesus had a great following. And that is the same today. If we look at our church, the churches around, it seems like many people want to be a Christian. Many people want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus comes to you and to me honestly. And it is as though the Lord Jesus asks every one of us. Why do you want to follow the Lord Jesus? Why do you want to come to hear his gospel? What really brought you here today? What is the reason? And he asks this multitude through this parable this question so that we may all seek our own hearts. Wherein lies the desire to follow the Lord Jesus? For many will hear the word. But there's only one kind of people in whom the word will have power. So if you have ears to hear, That the word may have power in your heart today. But the Lord Jesus does not just say nice things. He doesn't say to the people, everything will be okay. Everything will be fine. Follow me and you will be blessed. That's not the message of the Lord Jesus. See, he didn't teach them to say God is good all the time. No, that's not what the Lord Jesus taught. That's what man teaches. And he didn't say, if all of you people put lots of money in the gift box, then I will bless you. And he never came to tell people that everything is going to be okay. No. His ministry and his ministry today is the same when he comes to tell the truth. Have you heard the truth? And has the truth set you free in Christ? Search your soul. Search your heart. Have you been born again? And have you been washed and cleansed by the blood of
the Lamb?
Well, hear the parable of the sower. And in our mind, we have to go to a field. You know what that is? A field where you grow crops. And the Lord Jesus takes them in an example to the field. And you know that if you're going to have good crops, a lot of things has to happen. If you would see one of the men going outside and just going to the field right now the way it is and throwing some seed, you would say he's mad. But what do you do? Well, the very first thing we're waiting for is the rain season. Isn't it? Now, the Lord Jesus uses this for a very specific reason. The field represents your heart. Or your soul. That's what the field is representing. Now, just like you and I, we are waiting for the rains. And you know that if you look outside, everything is dry. Nothing can grow like this. It would be silly to put the seed in the ground like this. And you say, when are the rains coming? And you look up into the sky, and you hope you see clouds, and you know it's coming soon. You're waiting for it. Now that's the same thing spiritually. I want to ask you something. What do you think the rain represents in the field of your heart? And do you recognize this? Because just like we are waiting for rains for the fields, and expecting rains for the fields for moisture. So we must come to hear his word through the power of the moisture of the Holy Spirit. I can just throw seed of the gospel. But it's not going to work. A sower like that would be mad. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need the rain of the Holy Spirit. We need moisture in your soul. Otherwise, the seed of the gospel will not begin to spring forth. Have you come here with that expectation? That's why I asked in the beginning, why have you come? Have you prayed? We're going to church. Are you looking out for the Holy Spirit? Is that what your conversations were? You go to the bar hall and you talk. When is the rain coming? Ah, I think they're coming soon. And you say, I can't wait till the rains come. Because when the rains come, we can plant. What are you planting? What is your husband planting? And you come together, and you say, when the rains, they need to come. We need to pray for rain. And what are you going to plant? How much field have you got? And you talk about it. You have discussions. Right? Because we want to plant our fields so that we may have fruit. You can already see in your mind if it's going to be a good year, we're going to have nice corn or wheat or rice. But let me ask you a question. And be honest with yourself. It doesn't make sense to be deceiving. Because you're not deceiving me. And you're not deceiving your pastor. You're not deceiving anyone but God alone. When you come to church, is it the same thing? Do you have to say amongst each other? I wonder what scripture is going to be today. I wonder what the teaching is going to be today. I hope that the Holy Spirit comes right away when our service begins. And you gather together and you say, what would the scripture reading be? And is he going to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or of the Father? What will we hear? You say, let us pray. And mothers, you come together. Maybe Sunday is a service here. So Saturday night you come together. So that you may pray together. And you may ask the Lord to come Sunday morning. With His Holy Spirit. See, this is the idea. And the Lord Jesus talked so plain to us. He said it is like a field. And you take very good care that rain comes first. That's the very first thing. And if someone plants in the middle of summer, you say, he doesn't know what he's doing. But I ask you in this plain language, how can you come to worship in a dry church? Is the Holy Spirit raining? Is your heart filling with moisture of the Holy Spirit? And if not, You can't receive the gospel in your soul. For I think you've understood that the seed is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't receive that seed in a dry and a dry heart. If there's no moisture to take the gospel, what are you going to do with it? The seed is wasted. And so this plain parable the Lord gives us. But it doesn't stop there. He says this: If you wait for rains, and if the rains begin to come, what are you going to do? And your land gets moist, what are you going to do? Take a chair and sit and watch it? No. The first thing you do is get the hoe. And you take the hoe on your shoulder. Maybe first thing and early in the morning. And someone said, where are you going? To the field. My seed needs to go in. But you don't first go with the seed, you first go with the hoe. And you begin to make ridges. And if the ground is good, and if the rain is enough, you make ridges with excitement. Maybe you even call your wife, help! We have many ridges to make. And you work from morning till night, sweating. You don't stop. The seed needs to go in. Because we need to have fruit. We need to survive. We need food, new food. And that's the same thing. Spiritually. Are you following it? Because when the Holy Spirit comes into your soul, before the gospel can be sown in there, what has to happen? The law has to come in and dig into your heart. Because our heart is hard by nature. And what happens when you begin to make ridges? You do one, boom. And it only goes this much in. And you take again. And you go boom again. And it goes a little bit more again. And you take again. And you go harder. And then you go. And then it begins to get loose. That's exactly what has to happen to our heart. Our heart is hard. It's like that very heavy, hard ground. It can't take the gospel like that. The hole has to go into the heart. And overturn it. Because you know why? Because the gospel is not for good people. The gospel is for those who are fornicators. Robbers. Thieves. Haters of God. Haters of their neighbor. You know what has to happen? The law has to break your heart first. And we say, thou shalt not commit adultery. And you might say, I've done pretty good with that. But the hole has to go into your heart. So remember when you were 16? What happened? And the hole goes again. Boom. Remember that night when you were 18? Or 19? What did you do? And then the hole goes a little deeper. Do you remember when you were married? And maybe the hole goes a little bit into your ground now. And you say, ah, but I have one wife. And but you remember when you were walking home alone, and your eyes saw another woman. And you said, you see? And maybe you had a little talk with her. Some small talk. You come home. And your wife. Says, what have you done? Where have you been? And you say, nowhere. I come from the field. I'm watching home. You see? That is why the hole has to come into our heart. You can't put the gospel into the heart unless you overturn everything. And then when you put the hole into the ground and it breaks loose, what do you see? Big chunks. It's not like it all falls apart nicely. So you take the hole. And that what has to happen to our heart. Because why? What do we do? When the truth comes to our heart, we say, ah, but it wasn't so bad. I just looked at her. I talked to her. But I didn't do anything. Oh, and then to break you. Because the Bible says this. If you even look at a woman to lust at her, you have committed adultery in your heart already. It has to be loose. Otherwise the seed won't germinate. And so the law comes to our heart and breaks us. And it needs to continue to break us. So I've told you this before, but so many people think that the law is there so that we may know how to be obedient. But that's not why we read the law. And that's not what the effect of the law is for us. The law breaks us. It exposes us. It tells us how bad our life is. And it breaks us into pieces. And overturns any good thoughts in us. Why does the ground have to be overturned? The more you overturn it, the better prepared it is to take seed. And the more overturned your heart is, the more prepared it becomes to receive the gospel. And there were so many people there. And so many people here. Has your heart been turned upside down? Have you been exposed? When God's word is being preached, is it preached for you as a sinner? Or are you still a decent person? Not so bad as the other people. Or the church. I give some
time.
Ah, it should be enough.
No.
The spade must overturn your heart. And let the law break you. The law is not trying to tell you that you're a decent person. But the holy law of God tells you you're a sinner. And that's exactly what is needed. And so now you've made bridges. And you look back and you say, it's ready. Some little rains yet, so that the moisture is well into the ground. And now you have a bag of seed. And this bag of seed is your prize, because without this seed, all of your work would be in vain. You see, we have the gospel. And that is the seed. The gospel, if you don't have the gospel, all of that work is in vain. You can have rain, you can make ridges, you can put fertilizer, but if there's no seed, nothing will happen. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, people, and I tell you with this all, with all the love of my heart, if the gospel is preached here, it won't have any effect if your heart is not made ready for it. If the law has not broken you, and you have not been convicted, and the Holy Spirit is not present, moistening your heart to receive the seed. Oh, I pray that today you may hear this, and that your heart, by the rain and moisture of the Holy Spirit, is making your heart ready. Because we haven't even given you the seed of the gospel yet. And before we go today, we will make ourselves free to sow the seed in the church. But in the next coming weeks, what will spring up? Because in the fields you go every day. When the seed goes in, and you look, and what happens when you see little green leaves? You rejoice. It's coming. And it gets a little bigger. Is that what we do in the church here? We come together every Sunday here. I hope. And I hope during the week too. Is that what we're doing? Does your pastor come? And he sees in some of you little spiritual growth of green leaves. And we have to rejoice. She was lost, but now she's found. And she's bringing little sprigs of grace. Do you have to do that amongst yourself? You see one of the women? No, you see is not behaving well. It's a burden to the church and to the village. They're doing things that are not right. But suddenly you see that there is green leaves springing forth in her. Because she has been under the gospel. And her heart was broken. And the Holy Spirit gave moisture. I see grace in her. Little sprigs of grace. And you go to the borehole. You say, did you hear? The woman who is always bad in the village. She's showing signs of grace.
And then
you have to go around the borehole as woman. And you have to start singing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because he has saved another sinner. And people come by and say, what are you doing? You have to tell them. Some people in the church have had the gospel applied to their hearts. And their hearts are broken. You see, you do that in the fields. And you go to one of the other men. And you say, mine is this big. And the other one says, oh, mine is this big. And you almost brag about how well your field is going. Mine is very healthy. Yours is not as healthy. And you feel like a good farmer. You see? But we don't do that spiritually. We don't tell each other what's happening in your heart. Do you ask the young people what's happening in your heart? Are you born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. But if we ask them about the things of the world, school, or do you have a boyfriend, or a girlfriend, then we want to talk about that. But if we ask, is Jesus Christ King of your heart? Then they have to go like this. Why? Why? Because you have a boyfriend. It's because we don't speak about it. It's because we don't talk to each other. It's because we're not honest to each other. And yet, we see the young people. They're gathering around. Especially the older, the late teenage man. They like to drink beer. And talk about things of their heart. There's women. Or their favorite singer. And using foul language. Do you see? How that we are kept busy with the things we like. But the gospel doesn't have room. The gospel doesn't have room. The gospel is not spoken about at the beer tents. The gospel is not talked about at the boreholes. The gospel is not talked about when the men come about together. Neglect. Only when we go to church. Because we need something to still our conscience. Isn't that the truth? Is this the truth? And if you know this truth, And Jesus says, the truth will set you
free.
That's my prayer today for all of
you.
Now the riches are made.
Water,
rain has come. You have the seed. What is next? The sower. In that time. Let's take the same as rice. Sowed the seed. They spread it out. And they spread it everywhere. In your field, you will put everywhere.
Because it wasn't really was.
To make sure your whole field is full. And here today as well, we spread the seed out to everyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that He is the only way, truth, and life. And even though some may be sleeping, still seed is falling on them. You see, because when we preach the gospel goes out to everyone. But particularly for yourself, seed falls in the heart. And what do you do with
that?
Because be assured that even though you have heard the gospel, does not mean that there is sprouting going to take place. Only a very small portion of the seed is going to bear fruit. Because the Lord Jesus gives an example. And the very first example He says is this. That when one part of the seed is as such that in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Because when the seed is thrown, some of the seed falls on the outer edges and not in the plowed field. And it is seed, and it's right beside a plowed field. But what happens? It gets very quickly picked away. And that's what happens in the church. You hear the word, but it's not falling into your uprooted heart. So you hear it, and it goes in this year. But when you go away, it goes right back out. It has no effect. You come here, and the seed was thrown, but you go away and there's no impact. Very quickly, it may even be that we say, I think that's the truth. And the pastor is speaking the truth today. But you go away. And then the Satan comes, and because the seed is not in the ground, he quickly takes it away from you. And he says, it's not true. Maybe you hear that you are a sinner, and that you are condemned, and that you need the gospel to save you. And a little bit affects you. Then you go to outside. You go to someone who goes to a different church. And then they say, what did the pastor say? We are sinners. And we are condemned. And we are going to hell. And the other person says, ah, don't be silly.
Your
pastor's lying to you.
Don't
be so difficult.
You're
a good person. Okay, you're going to heaven. Don't worry.
Okay.
That's like this. It's not going to bear fruit. It quickly gets picked away. Yeah, your conscience is a little bit struck. And you're a little bit touched. And you think, ah, something must take place in my heart. But then you go out. And Satan, by all kinds of means, quickly comes and picks those little bit of convictions away. And you go into the week again. Not thinking about it. Monday. Never even thought about this sermon anymore. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday comes. You go with your friends. So get drunk. Saturday comes. You are tired. You get your rest. Sunday comes. Oh, sermon again. A little bit convicted again. But you go out again. And all the seed, the gospel gets picked away quickly. You can go on the whole week again. That's one. That was one. One way that the gospel is wasted. That the seed doesn't produce fruit. The seed has no more value. While even the field got rain and the field was plowed. And you know who you are. Because even the Holy Spirit is convicting you. If you are that person. If you are her or him. Where the gospel or the word of God says a little bit to you, but that's it. It's enough. And then we see the Lord Jesus gives us another example. Then he says, but he, in verse 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and taketh it quickly with joy. Yet it had not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's another kind of people that hear the word, and what happens? You see, when there was plowing the field, what the farmer didn't realize is that certain parts in the field have big rocks. And there's only a little bit of dirt on top. On the outside, it looks okay. Those seed go in too. And it looks promising. Because of the rain, it doesn't need much dirt. It quickly springs up because there's enough moisture. But soon as it dries a little bit, you look and you see it's wilting and dying. And you go and you take away some dirt. Oh, that's why. There's a big rock under. It has no moisture. That's the second type. And that seed dies. How many people here? Or in this village, or in Malawi, are converted in a crusade. This is called crusade preaching. But the gospel doesn't come through crusade preaching. Have a band of people come into your village. And preach like heaven's on fire. And get everyone excited. And a whole bunch of people are saved in one night. Thousands of people say, I give my life to Jesus. Crusade preaching. It looks good. It looks like it's so promising. But then the crusade is passed. And you have some marriage problems. Some struggles. Maybe poverty, whatever it may be. And you let it go. I was so excited. I gave my life to Jesus. But now it can't prove the fact. Why? Why? What's the big problem? What's the whole problem? It doesn't have roots in Christ. It doesn't have deep roots in the person of Christ. I hope there's some of you following. Because the majority or the multitudes in Malawi, multitudes are so-called saved through crusade preaching. But it doesn't have root in Christ. And eventually you fade. You don't have faith. Poverty, persecution, struggles come. And you fade away. And you die. And your hope, that false hope in you, dies. What happens? This is what happens. And you will recognize this. A man, let's give an example. A man was beating his wife. Angry at his wife. And yelling. Bad relationship. A crusade preaching comes into town. And the man is suddenly saved. And for 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks or 2 months, he seems to treat his wife nice. Maybe he even apologizes. But after some time, withers away and begins to beat his wife again. That's the conversion that the Lord is talking about in Stony Ground. All because there is no root in Christ. Crusade preaching. Crusade gospel. This is what the Lord Jesus is talking about. One more. He says, some of the seed. Let's read it. He also, in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become and he becometh unfruitful.
So
Some seed went even into good ground. And it looked very promising. But what happens? The seed's coming up. What do you have to do? If you want a healthy farm and a healthy field, what do you have to do? What takes place? So you plant seed and then wait till harvest? No. What do you do? You come each day and you detect weeds. And what do you do with weeds? You quickly pull them out. Because you know the weeds will choke your crop. If you just let the weeds grow, then your crop is going to suffer. And the weeds are far stronger than your crop. Did you ever take notice of that? Even as the corn or crop, whatever crop it may be, is starting to come up, you say, the weeds are before the crop. Where do they all come from? You have to try to tend in tender care, make sure the crop up comes up, but you never have to worry about weeds. And if you don't take the weeds out, the weeds will overcome your crop and they will. What does that mean for our life? That's the third group of people. What is that? Some people are willing to hear the gospel, willing to come to church, to hear the truth. But what happens? What happens in their life? The cares of this world begin to grow, and you don't tend to it. Sin takes over your life. And the lust of money takes over. And instead of hoeing your heart, daily taking the weeds away, you let it grow. And by the weeds, and the sin of this world, the lust of this world, overtakes your heart. Some people start so well. They hear the gospel. And they're rejoiced. They even get baptized. Quickly. Baptize her. She believes in the Lord. She believed in Jesus Christ. She confessed. And down the road, you see, she's letting men into her house again. For a little bit of money. You see? And now they're getting because she doesn't trust in the Lord. And instead of taking those weeds out of your heart, you let yourself go. Maybe there was much theft in your life. And you are very good at stealing with your friends. And the gospel comes. And you say, no, I can't steal anymore. I cannot do this stealing. I cannot do bribes. And you confess. You get baptized. And it looks so good. But some weeks later and months later, you're not taking the weeds out of your heart. And you begin to steal a little bit again. But I need to survive. No trust in the Lord. And then a little bit more
stealing.
And then you become worse than before. This is that third type of person. And Malawi is full of them. Yea, to hear the gospel. The gospel comes into your village. And maybe it has a big effect on your heart. And maybe for a time you change. I have to change my life. I need to do things differently. I need to be better to my husband or to my wife. I need to change. And the gospel says that God is able to do so. I believe. Hallelujah, they say.
Hallelujah.
And then everyone says amen. And it seems so spiritual. So nice. Everybody's being saved. And eventually the church, less people. There was 200 people.
Maybe 100.
Then later it becomes 50 people. And then less people. And then we don't come every Sunday. It seems so good.
But
all the weeds we didn't pick out. We didn't tend to our heart. Because I tell you something. If you are a believer, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if He has saved you from the curse that lays upon you, if He is your friend, and He's precious to you, you are going to weed the garden of your heart every day. And you say, Lord, it's a new day. The weeds are coming already. Anger, frustration, angry at my husband, beating my children, talking about other people. Lord, help me. Help me to take these weeds out by your grace every morning and every evening, so that you keep your heart weeded. And when someone comes to you and says, sees your field, says, do you realize if you don't weed your field, your crop is going to be destroyed? Wouldn't that awaken you? Wouldn't you say, it's been too long that I've been to my field. I need to weed quick. Help me. I'll give you something. Come with me. Take these weeds out of the field. It's the same thing spiritually. Because if your sisters in Jesus Christ, you will notice very quickly when one sister is getting too weedy. Too many weeds. And when you hear one of your sisters talk gossip, then you have to say to her, your garden is very high weeds. Let me help you. Pull them out. You can't talk about other people like that. That's not Christ now. You see,
That's what the gospel really does. But if we are, all of our hearts are overgrown with
grief,
then we can't even recognize another. It just looks normal. This is that third group. The Lord says the weeds got so high, they can't even see their crop anymore. And then you have to say to such a person, what happened?
You
say, I don't know. Do you still believe? And you say, I think so. Who is Jesus Christ for you? I don't know. Should I know? You see, that's the problem. That's the problem because because there's so much weeds that have consumed that the crop in between the weeds has died. And there's no fruit. No cob of kernels. And when we go to the field, we take away all the weeds. Maybe we find a cob. We'll open it. Full of worms. No corn. And you say it's useless. That's like our heart. If it's suffocating by the weeds, and we look deep into your heart, God looks deep into your heart, and He says it's useless. Those are the three scenarios of this parable. But there's one more. One more I want to tell you about.
Yes.
Please stay away. I know, it's tiring. But please, this is the one that Jesus Christ wants you to hear. Even if you're yawning, you can still stay away. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You see, because this seed went deep into the ridges. And there was no rocks underneath. And the wheat, every day the weeds were taken out. Very carefully tended to. And every so often the water rained on it. And it began to grow. And get higher. And it looked good. And you tend to it. You see beautiful cobs start to come out. And you're excited. Because the whole endeavor, the whole point of this farming is to receive the cob. The stock, oh my. Even the ground after the harvest is taken, it's going to be that. But it's all about the kernel. And if you have a healthy cob, and you have a healthy field, and you have these beautiful cobs, What are you going to get? Beautiful, lots of beautiful, good sima. That's what you're looking for, no? That's what you work for, no? So that you have lots of sima that can fill the stomach. That's what it's about. And that is seeing spiritual. When we may grow spiritually in Jesus Christ, and may find in Jesus Christ everything to be found in Him, and we may bring forth fruit in the soul. That is fruit for Him. Then He receives the beautiful fruit of the harvest. For the harvest is for the Lord. All do you see that this fourth group of people receives the word and understood it? And the question is, do you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know what the gospel means? Or is the gospel some foreign language for you? Because the gospel means this. The gospel means we can be saved, and only saved in the precious work of Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can add nor take away. But Jesus Christ saves. His blood cleanses from all sins. And so are you washed in the blood? Or have you been saved in a crusade? You don't even know who He is. For Jesus Christ died so that we who believe may live. Jesus Christ gave His life into death so sinners may rise and live. Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for your sins, for your fornication, for your gossip. And this is the hacking open of your heart. You have nothing to do. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you need to do. I don't have to change my life. Not for salvation. You can't. Because your works and Jesus' works together doesn't work. It doesn't work. We are saved by grace alone. All in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And if you hear this gospel, it's coming into your heart. Your heart is filled. You can receive this because you understand it. Because you understand what? Because you understand that there's nothing I can do. And there's nothing I need to do. But it's all done in Christ Jesus. It's finished in Him. All those who believe in this Savior receive forgiveness of sins. Receive life everlasting. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that the gospel may fall in some hearts today who have been filled And that as this gospel, this free gospel of grace, yea, God's sovereign grace, all merited in Christ alone. Merited in Christ alone. Found in Him alone. Oh, that you might understand. When you hear it, there is nothing that you can merit. No man can merit or work for his salvation. But it's free grace alone. And this is the fourth or fifth time I've come. Each time I've told you that it's by grace alone. Jesus Christ is the only truth. And that whoever believeth in Him will not be put to shame. I've told you it's not a crusade gospel. It's not a little bit of try hard. It's not in your baptism. It's not in the dirty money you give. And it's not because you go to church on Sunday and be far from it that you belong to APC. Has nothing to do with that. It's a heart matter. Gospel comes to sinners. And I bring you the gospel. Bring you glad tidings. I proclaim one thing only. That is Jesus Christ. For your poor, wretched soul. So that you may see by faith. And receive this gospel in your heart. And that your tilled hearts. Because you see, I'm a sinner. And the law is condemning me. Like the woman of the Samaritan woman. Jesus says, no, the husband you have is no husband. You have five husbands. You see, the law was breaking her. Broken. And then the gospel can come in. I tell you the gospel. You young people, maybe you can sing nice songs. But that's not going to save you. That's, you still go to eternity. You need to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Young people, take my word. Because if you go tonight, you die. Because young people die. And you are not saved by grace. You will be eternally tormented. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. If Jesus Christ is not precious to you today, He won't be precious to you later. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. But believe the gospel of the free gift of grace found in the crucified Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, but is resurrected again for life eternal, for Himself and for those who come to Him. Be saved, to be rescued, to receive the gift of God by faith. Whoever hath the ear to hear, let him hear. Amen.